Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
If you want a fresh perspective about your company's products in a positive, engaging, and refreshing way, you need to consider running an influencer marketing campaign. If you've never heard of that term before, in this episode of Growth Marketing Today, I have Richard Wong. He's the VP of Marketing at Hashtag Paid, which is one of the biggest influencer marketing platforms in the industry. They've recently raised $9 million in Series A funding to fuel their platform's expansion with AI. In this episode, you're gonna learn why you should consider influencer marketing for your business or company, how to run a successful campaign, and how to measure the success of that campaign. You know, that's so important for us growth marketers. Now, if you want the high-level outline and quotes from this episode, you need to go to growthmarketing.today/025. That's growthmarketing.today/025. Now, I'm going to be doing something new in a few weeks. I'm going to be doing live virtual recording. You heard that right, where you get to listen to an episode being recorded live virtually, and you get to ask questions to my guests live. Now, I have the VP of growth at Spotify, CEO of Mixergy, and other top growth people in the industry coming to my show next. So if you want to check this out, and if you're interested, go check it out at growthmarketing.today/live. I don't want to hold you back anymore. Here's my chat with Richard. Hey everyone, we have here Richard Wong, VP of Marketing at Hashtag Paid. How's it going, Richard?
Good, how's it going?
It's pretty good. It's a nice Friday. You just gave me a tour of your new office of Hashtag Paid.
Absolutely.
You moved there a month ago. It was Uber's old office.
Uber Canada's old office, where Uber Eats first started off globally.
It's beautiful. I'm gonna tell you, it feels like a startup. Like, it looks cool.
Yeah, there's, for those who are listening in, wooden beams, wooden slats on the very top. Greenery and plants and concrete potters all over the place. So like every other startup, just a cool, nice little vibe that's right. Relaxing, but also we get a lot of business done here too.
Awesome, man. Before we start talking about marketing and growth and Hashtag Paid and influencer marketing, which Hashtag Paid is about, maybe we can talk a little bit about your career journey so far. I just want to paint a picture of like how each of your job added up to being VP of marketing of this really hot company or startup.
Thank you. Yeah, I first started off my career. My first internship was at Procter & Gamble.
Nice.
So I interned on CoverGirl Cosmetics. Really got to learn the nuances of marketing a product that I had no idea about, the world of
makeup.
Cosmetics,
right.
And makeup. And got to learn a ton of opportunities there when it comes to the world of how do you use data? How do you strategically market? Like, how do you plan things? How do you think about any of your different initiatives? How do they ladder up? Those are all really important things that I learned from Procter & Gamble, and probably even better education than anything you would learn in school. I was just in the like Procter & Gamble basements getting taught by all the top marketing minds.
And you studied at Ivy, right? Correct.
Yeah. So I went to Ivy Business School at Western University.
Right. And so then you learn more from this cosmetic.
way more like in industry than anything else. Like,
that's so
that
funny.
You learn in one of the top business schools.
Right.
From there, I graduated. I was so involved at Western that I actually stayed and was in charge of recruiting and admissions for their undergrad program. I'd like to think I crushed it there and ended up getting promoted and to manage a new master's program and got to lead that. So it was called the Ivy MSc program. Developed that for 2 more years, launched it to got to where it wanted to be. And then I went back into industry. So I went over to Johnson & Johnson, worked on the brand management side with Band-Aid, Visine, First Aid, and then decided to make the cycle into more of the digital world. And I worked at Google for just shy of 2 years.
Yeah.
Working on a different program called Think with Google. So Google's platform for...
Yeah, I'm getting the ads everywhere, man. Facebook,
insights,
Instagram.
Research, case studies, and all that fun stuff. So that's what I got to work on. And a lot of just Google's advertising narrative about the future of marketing. And then I jumped into the startup world. First at 500px as head of the business development team. And now here as heading up Hashtag Paid and the entire creator world of creator marketing. Marketing to marketers on the brand marketing side and just how we're building out this entire industry.
It seems like you've you have diverse different kind of, whenever I hear somebody say, I mean, marketing, my first thought is what kind of marketing?
Exactly.
But the cool thing is you've done brand manager, product marketing at Google, and then you got into influencer marketing. Just to talk with the breadth of experience in marketing, how has marketing change over the time when you started off?
Yeah, I'd say like when I first started off my career in marketing, like Procter & Gamble, like Twitter first launched.
Nobody
really understood like where the world of social media was going.
Oh, right.
Facebook didn't have walls. You just had a profile. And so the world of digital was actually relatively new.
Right.
And most of our spend went to TV,
print
ads, right. In-store, all that fun stuff like that. Like most of my budget for CoverGirl went to like Next Top Model and those activations there. Now I think what's really amazing for a time for all marketers is the idea that the entire world of marketing is now like it's going through this huge revolution and change. Google talks a lot about the big revolution in advertising was art and copy moving together, like the Mad Men era.
Right.
Now we have this whole era around art, copy, and code. Now you have coders, now you have developers, and like the ways in how we as marketers can storytell and connect with our consumers are so much beyond just like throwing a 15-second or 30-second spot in front of your face. Like the ways in how we can participate with our consumers are that much more rich. And that's what digital is providing, is like that engagement. You can build relationships with your consumers and your audience. You can bring your brand to life in a whole bunch of new different ways. So it's almost like as an artist, as marketers, whether we're actually in the art department rolling this stuff out or we're on the strategy side, the creativity that we have of bringing our brands to life is that much more rich. And that's why it's so exciting to be a marketer now.
Yeah, and that's cool because like hashtag paid is right in that bleeding edge of marketing, right? Specifically, well, before I get into in-depth into it, maybe it's better for you to explain to my listeners who don't know what it is. What is hashtag paid?
Yeah, so hashtag paid is an influencer marketing platform that helps brands and creators connect to do what they call sponsored social posts. So if you ever see any different YouTube videos or Instagram posts that have different type of brand integrations, a lot of that's powered through, in the old age, talent agencies. In today's world, it's a lot of these influencer marketing platforms and solutions. And so that's what we end up working with, is we have about 15,000 creators around the world that we work with, several hundred brands that we work with. And what we do is try to find the authentic right matches. So matching people to the brands that they actually love posting about. Great for the brands because they get to have people who are passionate about what they're promoting. For the creators, they actually get to work with brands that they actually do care about and their audience will love.
Yeah, so it's right with that influencer marketing. How long has influencer marketing, I know the term, I know probably influencer marketing has been around for ages, but like how long has it been around, like the term itself?
Yeah, so like the whole world of sponsoring a different type of talent, like stems from like, think back down to sports, right? Like when did Michael Jordan first get his first like Nike deal, right?
Oh my goodness, right.
Or any of those different older groups. So it's been around for a while, but I think the term influencer marketing has only really started to catch on for the past several years. And especially here in Canada, for any of the Canadian listeners, it's only really started to take off probably last year, where it's become the really big thing that people are all rallying around and really understanding. For anybody, like, again, for all those Canadian listeners, like if you've seen all those different type of YouTube ads all around, like in billboards and bus shelters, I think the whole idea around this is now that we're turning like what we typically have as media, consuming media on TV, there's amazing television programming on YouTube. And these are people who don't have fancy production studios. Right. They're very much like what you're doing right now is you have some equipment and you're setting this up and you're just like producing really good content and that rallies an audience around that. I think that's the really exciting part about this. And that's why influencer marketing is growing.
Yeah, you're talking about this group of people who have now a tremendous audience that it wasn't accessible because of platforms like YouTube and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when I was chatting with a couple of groups, like if you wanted to become really big in Hollywood or just the entertainment industry, you had to be like the son or daughter of like a celebrity or like a movie studio executive or something like that.
Right.
And it's like, it was very built on nepotism or just like being ridiculously good looking, maybe. but the sides of that where it's changing now is you can have people who can just grab a camera, their phone or their MacBook and just start creating content. That's amazing. Like one of the biggest YouTubers, Michelle Fan, the whole story around her was she tried to work at a cosmetics counter like several times. She got rejected all these different times. She started her own beauty makeup channel. And now all the cosmetics companies that are trying to work with her are all now paying her millions of dollars to work with her on that platform because she's built an amazing audience. And so it's a true democratization of talent.
And that democratization of talent is now an huge opportunity for brands and even startups to seize that opportunity, right?
Exactly. So the whole democratization of talent, it's like it. What that allows brands to do is you don't need to advertise again to those normal studios or the traditional ways. Right. Like you can bring your brand to life in such a cool way. And like the way of how do you create content is that much richer. So for brands, you can storytell in many more creative ways. For a lot of the startups in the area, it allows you to one, become and start to publish a lot of your own content. Right. But also the other side of it that's really cool is there's a ton of people who want to be your advocates and representatives. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing around having how some of the really smart startups have started is rally a small group of people, have your circle of champions, and then grow it out from there.
Mm, that makes sense. In terms of the successes that you've seen with hashtag paid and just the successes of influencer marketing, what kind of things that can you like bring up without having to shoot me because it's like NDA, you know, and stuff?
Yeah. You like which campaigns?
Yeah. What kind of campaigns? Campaign successes.
Yeah. So I would say like one of the really cool campaigns that we were working with, I love sharing the story of like working with RBC. So it's something where you typically think it's like, okay, it's a financial services, right. It's a bank. How sexy can that be?
Yeah, banks are not sexy.
No, no. But the whole...
And if they did, they would be kind of weird, right?
Exactly. But the whole idea around this and how we brought some of those campaigns to life is, well, RESPs, for example, if you're saving money for your kid's education fund, that's really important. It's really like a personal moment as a parent wanting to be able to provide for your child. And so what we did was we got our entire creator community, figured out who actually has an RESP with RBC, who banks with them on a regular basis. And rather than just paying random influencers to be able to talk about their RESPs, we wanted to be able to get people who are actually banking with them and actually saving with RBC and have them share their stories. And bringing to life like some of those amazing stories, whether it's saving for your child's investment fund, whether it's being a new Canadian, moving to the city and being able to talk about what like the difficulties of being a new immigrant to Canada and being able to have a bank that helps you with the entire adjustment. Those are the really true stories about how banks can separate themselves. Yeah. And so that was a really cool campaign. Another really cool one that they also did was they sent a whole bunch of our creators to the Olympics down in Rio for the RBC Avion card. Nice. And so anybody who was a great Avion card user got to work and on that campaign, got a VIP exclusive pass to the Olympics and got to document what it means to be an Avion travel card holder.
Interesting. I wish I was an influencer. I get free trips like that. That's cool. You have influencers on your team right now. Like, what does your marketing team look like at the moment?
Yeah. So in terms of my marketing team, we split our groups into kind of like three different main functions. One of it is the brand side. So it's how do we educate other marketers around the world of influencer marketing? Influencer marketing is super new. Mm. A lot of people have missteps or tried to do influencer marketing and have difficulties, hiccups happen all the time. How do we educate the industry itself on how to do it properly? The second part of it is our creator marketing side. So that's how do we recruit other type of creators to join our group? And then the last part of it is like more of the creator relations front. So that's going to be a lot of the education on creators. Like how do creators price themselves accordingly? How do you get more deals? How do you become more professional? Yeah. How do we train themselves to become better advocates for themselves. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're doing are like throwing different type of events and workshops for creators to help educate other creators on how to do this properly. Right. And working together as an entirety helps elevate the entire industry as a whole.
And you said something that I want to jump on. You talked about missteps of implementing influencer program. What's the right way or, you know, a suggested right way to implement an influencer? You know, just off the top of my mind, I would like find an influencer, pay them some money, and then let them do some posting or stuff.
So yeah, exactly. So I think you're getting onto like the points of like why it's a little difficult. One, it's yes, you want to find people. I'm glad that you at least recognize that people need to get paid. There's a lot of people that will just like, oh well, it's great exposure for you. And it's like, look, like if you want a top celebrity to be talking about you, yes, you can get exposure on your page, but. Right. They're shooting content. They're spending, like they're getting up, they're putting together the shot. They're spending maybe even like a half day or a full day on some of the producing this content for you. They deserve to get paid in the same way that all of us as marketers.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be great exposure for us to work for a company, but like at the end of the day, we still want to get paid. This is how it works. So that's one step. But two, it's like, how do you know that you're paying the right price? How do you know these are the right creators for you to partner up with?
Interesting.
How do you know that the audience actually matches up with the right groups? in the whole world of social media. Like, how do you ward against like fake followers and fake engagements? That's why you need some of the data sophistication around that. How do you now think about measurement? How do you talk about the results of it? You were talking about just paying the money for them to post. Well, why don't you give them a brief, outline what are the key responsibilities and what you want them to go for, give them a sandbox to play in, but then also let the influencers develop the content themselves and these creators to be able to express what they do best. Like, they know their audience, they know it's going to work well for them. But also as a marketer, make sure you approve it before it goes live, which I think is a lot of another big misstep. People just have people posting random content and it's like, you should probably see it before it goes live to make sure it aligns with your strategies.
Makes sense.
So these are some of those key facts that I think can be common missteps, but we can go on and on about all these different type of things going on.
No, so like, you've just thrown some really good points that it's obvious you have some experience with this, implementing this, just because like, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
Exactly.
One of the things that I think about too is like with this whole like, well, it's been around, but with more data, this idea of performance marketing where they measure everything. How do you measure the success of different ways to measure the success of an influencer marketing program?
Yeah. So from an influencer marketing perspective, the one thing you have to remember that it's not about driving specific sales, because if you're talking about like in a similar way, if you see LeBron James rocking those Nikes, can you talk about the attribution of like, okay, well, LeBron James wore some Nikes, therefore the sales of Nikes went up. It's not quite that level yet. So it's on an aggregate, it's you have to think about, yes, there's performance marketing and there's also brand marketing. This is definitely much more on the brand marketing side. This is where you typically find it as an alternative to like TV or like display advertising or other groups like that from a brand awareness play. But there's still ways for you to figure out what the impact of influencer marketing is going to be. And that's where we talk about, you shouldn't be thinking about just reach of like how many followers somebody has. You should talk about the actual engagements, like what percentage of what's their average engagement rate and how well did this piece of content do when it comes to their average engagement rates. We run sentiment analysis on all of our different type of posts. So you can track, is this actually resonating well with the overall audience? Is this something where the actual audience are commenting about each of the different posts, and is it relevant to the specific brand that you're talking about? It goes beyond that, where if you, depending on the nuances of the campaign, if you have a link in bio, how many clicks did it overall drive? How many signups did you have? You can use UTM tags. And even nowadays, like we're getting even more sophisticated, you should be amplifying your influencer posts through native amplification. So amplifying it from the influencer's post, and that opens up a whole world of possibilities of performance measurement, because you can use all the different paid advertising attribution tools.
That's fascinating. I never thought about it that. So you use influencer and then amplify it through some kind of like a Facebook ad or...
These creators are as we call them, some influencers, they're producing amazing content.
Reuse them.
Yeah. You want to make sure, like any good smart marketer would do, stretch, use your creative, make sure you end up seeing and utilizing your creative to its fullest extent. So for especially the Canadian marketers, like you'll have your different type of influencers and yes, they'll have a Canadian audience, but make sure that you get all of the Canadians in your target market to see all these different type of posts. So amplify it through their accounts. And that's something that we end up working with a lot of groups to do.
Well, that's cool. Now you've educated me about that piece too. You also hit another point when you were talking about what to watch out for. You were talking about fake followers, and this big problem with Twitter. Twitter is probably one of the biggest problem I'm hearing over and over again. How do you like protect your brands and companies and startups that you work with from that?
Yes. So the last thing you want to do is like pay somebody a bunch of money for something that you know is just fake followers.
Right.
Which is why the engagement rate for that is so important. Like after, if somebody has 100,000 followers, if they only have a couple hundred likes, like there's something fishy going on there, right? There's a bunch of fake people going on. Either that or their content that they end up producing is just not great content. Either way, you shouldn't be working with that type of person. But in terms of tracking overall fake followers, we like Hashtag Paid have our own algorithm and product feature that we do to like analyze and validate the legitimacy of these creators. But for any of the startups or the small businesses that are out there, you can even use different type of tools like socialblade.com. And what they can end up doing is put in people's handle, and you can be able to see their past follower growth or their engagements over the past, I think it's 90 days. And you can be able to see different anomalies. Like for most people who are growing a follower count, they should be growing at a fairly linear rate. if you see a whole bunch of outliers and huge, huge follows or unfollows or just something sketchy going on there, right. You'll see it with the data points there. So that's one simple way in how you as a, any marketer can use the tools at hand to be able to just track to see if things are trending appropriately or not, and make an educated guess from that side.
No, that makes sense. I think, and I want to focus on startups, especially with startups when they put some money into growing their brand through influencer marketing. They want to make sure that they're investing in the right way. How would influencer marketing look different for a startup versus a brand like
Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So from Coca-Cola, let's start off with them. Coca-Cola is so large that the marketer for them. Influencer marketing is just one line item on their overall budget.
Right.
In fact, they're probably not even working directly on some of these executions. They're probably working and outsourcing this to their agencies. And even the agency, it's only a line item on their on their budget because their budgets are just so large.
Right.
And so as a result of that, they tend to outsource it to experts. And we have our, on top of our platform, we also have an agency, kind of our accounts team that works directly with these different agencies as a managed service to be able to run some of these different campaigns through. And that works super efficiently. They kind of operate as an extension and kind of the influencer marketing experts per se for Coca-Cola, for any of the different clients and campaigns that we work on, because they're for larger groups and they reach our minimum spends. For the startups that are out there, influencer marketing might be one major pillar of any of your executions, or it might be even your primary initiative that you end up doing. From there, you can end up having a team of advocates. Like if you have a cool clothing company or a different type of product that you just love and you end up promoting that out there, get their product into the hands of different type of creators or influencers. Right. And if they're reaching out to you, a lot of different creators will reach out to different brands that they love and just I love your product and I would love to be able to represent and work with you guys. Do you have a free pair of socks or blanket or something like that for me to be able to promote? And this is where you can start to build some of your relationships with them. And start off with the people who are your main advocates. And that's how you really start to stem up a circle of champions that you can do that. And yes, it's going to be a little more grassroots, a little bit more nimble. But remember that when you're a startup or a small business, the effects go that much further. If you're a restaurant, offering a free meal or offering them more of a VIP type of setting or service are great nimble ways in how to start doing marketing in a cost-effective and efficient way if you're particularly small.
Mm, yeah, no, that's great. That's a great way to advise it. It's not just looking on YouTube for an influencer. It's more start looking for advocates to really...
Who's checking in on Foursquare around your place? Who's tagging your brand in those certain areas? Who's put an alert and see who's involved in tagging stories in your area? If you're running a brick and mortar, ask people to connect with you guys and see who your followers are. All of these different elements are how you can start to dig into who are some of your true advocates.
Nice. Is this any different from advocate marketing? I hear from Influtive.
Yeah, so advocacy marketing, what Influtive does is great stuff for them to kind of systematize and institutionalize their entire process. The concept is just similar. It's find people who are your main advocates and give them a speaker to be able to share the story. Now, remember, they're also a more sophisticated platform for a lot of the larger companies.
Right.
May not be a perfect service for some of the startups that are nimble like that. But they help to institutionalize a lot of that. But the concepts are very the same. You want to be able to find people who are just your big advocates who love what you do and give them a microphone to be able to share that. Whether you do that through the standardized process of sending them a way for them to review and amplify those reviews out to different type of people, or it's just giving for your type of products and building relationships with some of your customers who are your true advocates, the concept's the same.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, you started off the podcast talking about how marketing has changed, and you're talking about how influencer marketing fits into that. I want to know where you see marketing is going. Where is it going in 2020? Where is it going in 2020 is in two years. Crazy. Where is it going in 5 years? Where do you see where everything is going?
Yeah, I'd say it's really hard for us to say, because I think there's a quote where we overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but we underestimate what we can accomplish in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think that right now we keep on talking about data is going to be great and it's going to be I think that's going to continue to be the forefront in 5 years. I know a lot of people like are scared that all this marketing automation is going to replace all of our jobs. I don't quite think it's going to be quite that that quick. And I also think that like while all of us here are marketing, I think the big aspect of where marketing is going to go is we all have to get really smart about how we end up using that. We have to be thinking much more strategically about where we place our money and our investments and our initiatives and how we bring our brand to life in a different type of way. But I think over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to be the top brands are going to be the ones who are producing great content, who are helping people and providing value to all their different customers, starting a real dialogue with those different type of groups. And I think whether that comes in the form of VR, AR, or any of those sorts of that, I think it all depends on a case-by-case issue, like issue of like where different type of brands come to life. But I think that the overall side of it is all of us as marketers have to get a lot smarter about where we place our investments.
Interesting. That makes sense. I find it fascinating you talk about VR and AR because I think maybe before marketing used to be like very one-sided discussion or monologue. And then now it's getting more and more conversational and then it's going to get even more like engaged. Like you're really like
experience-based.
Right. That's fascinating. For people who are trying to get into marketing or trying to get into what you do, I know you're like, oh, but how did they get here? What kind of tips would you have for students who just graduated or they're trying to transition into marketing? Maybe they've been in sales or another role in maybe in product and they're like, oh, I want to get into more marketing side. What kind of tips would you have for them?
Yeah, so for anybody who's going into marketing, I'll give a shameless plug. If you don't know anything about marketing yet, definitely check out some of the different tech boot camps that are all around the city. Yeah. We'll plug Red Academy for sure. I'm sure it's come up in the past. But there's a lot of different groups and services around there that you can learn from some industry professionals. Just some of the core skills. If that's not something that you guys can end up doing, definitely I look to people who have their certifications. So if you're AdWords analytics certified, you have your Facebook blueprint, you've done the like either Marketo or Hootsuite or HubSpot, any of those different type of training groups like that and certifications helps validate that you're actually interested in digital marketing and can have some sort of specialties that you can start to prove some of your value right at the get-go. Beyond that, once it's actually about setting some of those connections up with those different type of groups, research all the different groups that are out there. Read Betakit, go to TechCrunch, go on Crunchbase, go onto AngelList and see all the different type of, for particular like the startups and the tech groups that really excite you. And then from there, like really get to know who those brands are. I always ask anybody who's applying to mine is like, have you read our eBooks? Have you understood our core, like what our company philosophy is going to be? And the people that do the due diligence and read through all of that do impress me.
Nice.
And that's one that you can definitely get ahead of the curve. And do, once you do your due diligence around that type of stuff, you stand out. And that's something that really cares. And any employer's going to want to see, okay, are they just applying to a whole bunch of different roles or do they actually care about this particular type of company? Mm-hmm. And what do they care about this company? And in particular, even if they don't have a job posting out there, just even reaching out and saying like, hey, I love what you guys do. Here's a little bit about my background. Is there anything along these lines? Even pitching different type of roles to companies can be something that you could probably do. I've definitely been interested in and received all the pitches from people before. I think that's one of those things on how people who want to get into marketing, get into tech, can really do to stand out.
Right. Wow. No, it's great. Great advice. I'd like to wrap up and see, you know, where can people find #paid and what kind of companies you're looking for right now?
Yeah. So #paid, you can go to #paid.com. So #paid.com. Follow us on Instagram, spelled out #paid again. We have Twitter, a bunch of those other groups like that. Feel free to follow and be able to engage with what we're up to and what we're working on. That's one from what we're doing from the other type of companies that we end up working with. We work with a ton of the different both agencies, Fortune like 500 type of companies itself, but we're also growing pretty quickly. Both we have our Toronto office, our New York office. We're probably growing out a couple more offices, but we're definitely looking to grow out our team. And anybody who's really exciting, definitely reach out.
Awesome, man. And one more plug, if there's, where can people find you, Richard?
Yeah.
Do you have a website? You have LinkedIn? Like, what do you want to put out there?
Yeah, the so feel free to hit me up on Twitter, Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, T-W-O-N-G, so Richard T. Wong on Twitter. I tweet sporadically, but usually at a lot of events. but you can see some of my my thoughts and learnings from there. Cool.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time and sharing with us influencer marketing and how hashtag being
awesome. Thanks, family.
Hey, thanks for listening on this episode. One of the things that Richard said is that he said that influencer marketing is not about driving specific sales. It's about growing your brand and awareness. Now, all too important for a lot of performance marketers, it's all about the sale. But you need to get the interest and awareness of people before you can start selling to them. So if you want the high-level outline of this, once again, it's at growthmarketing.today/025. And once again, I want to invite you to my next live virtual recording of this episode, where I'm going to be interviewing top growth people in the industry, and you get to ask your questions live. Get that? That's amazing. It's at growthmarketing.today/live, L-I-V-E, live. If you have any feedback or questions, send me a short email at ramley@growthmarketing.today. I respond to emails. I know some of you already sent me a few emails. I reply back with the great feedback. Any comments, any other suggestions, I would love your feedback. Other than that, this is Ramley from Growth Marketing Today, and I just want to say keep on growing.